no matter who you are, no matter where you have been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, all of you, each and every one, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the fifth day of December. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy, a privilege, and an honor to be here reading the Word of God for each and every single one of us. No matter your story, no matter what you've been through in life, no matter what you are responsible for, you are welcome here, and this is a safe place. You will not be turned away. Turning you away dismisses any possibility of what God could say and do. And what he could say or do is so much more important than anything I could say or do. So welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. We are well into the book of 2 Corinthians. Today we read chapters 5 through 9. And today we are reading the New English Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, the tent we live in, is dismantled, we have a building from God, a house not built by human hands, that is eternal in the heavens. For in this earthly house we groan because we desire to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed, after we have put on our heavenly house, we will not be found naked. For we groan while we are in this tent, since we are weighed down, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. Therefore we are always full of courage, and we know that as long as we are alive here on earth, we are absent from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. Thus we are full of courage and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So then whether we are alive or away, we make it our ambition to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be paid back according to what he has done while in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, because we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people, but we are well known to God, and I hope we are well known to your consciences too. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to be proud of us, so that you may be able to answer those who take pride in outward appearance and not in what is in the heart. For if we are out of our minds, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, since we have concluded this, that Christ died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised. So then, from now on, we acknowledge no one from an outward human point of view. Even though we have known Christ from such a human point of view, now we do not know him in that way any longer. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against them, and he has given us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his plea through us. We plead with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. Now, because we are fellow workers, we also urge you to not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, I heard you at the acceptable time, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Look, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We do not give anyone an occasion for taking an offense in anything, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as God's servants, we have commended ourselves in every way with great endurance, in persecutions, in difficulties, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, in troubles, in sleepless nights, in hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by benevolence, by the Holy Spirit, by genuine love, by truthful teaching, by the power of God, with weapons of righteousness, both for the right hand and for the left, through glory and dishonor, through slander and praise, regarded as impostors and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet see. We continue to live as those who are scourged and yet not executed, as sorrowful but always rejoicing, as poor but making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart has been opened wide to you. Our affection for you is not restricted, but you are restricted in your affections for us. Now, as a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts to us also. Do not become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer share in common with an unbeliever? And what mutual agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will live in them and will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the all-powerful Lord. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that could defile the body and the spirit, and thus accomplish holiness out of reverence for God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have ruined no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I told you before that you are in our hearts, so that we die together and live together with you. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride on your behalf. I am filled with encouragement. I am overflowing with joy in the midst of all our suffering. For even when we came into Macedonia, our body had no rest at all, but we were troubled in every way, struggles from the outside, fears from within. But God, who encourages the downhearted, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. We were encouraged not only by his arrival, but also by the encouragement you gave him, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your deep concern for me, so that I rejoiced more than ever. For even if I made you sad by my letter, I do not regret having written it, even though I did regret it. For I see that my letter made you sad, though only for a short time. Now I rejoice, not because you were made sad, but because you were made sad to the point of repentance. For you were made sad as God intended, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For sadness, as intended by God, produces a repentance that leads to salvation, leaving no regret, but worldly sadness brings about death. For see what this very thing, this sadness, as God intended, has produced in you. What eagerness, what defense of yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what deep concern, what punishment. In everything you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So then, even though I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did wrong, or on account of the one who was wronged, but to reveal to you your eagerness on our behalf before God. Therefore, we have been encouraged, and in addition to our own encouragement, we rejoiced even more at the joy of Titus, because all of you have refreshed his spirit. For if I have boasted to him about anything concerning you, I have not been embarrassed by you, but just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting to Titus about you has proved true as well. And his affection for you is much greater when he remembers the obedience of you all, how you welcomed him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because in everything I am fully confident in you. Now we make known to you, brothers and sisters, the grace of God given to the churches of Macedonia, that during a severe ordeal of suffering, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in the wealth of their generosity. For I testify, they gave according to their means and beyond their means. They did so voluntarily, begging us with great earnestness for the blessing and fellowship of helping the saints. And they did this not just as we had hoped, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Thus we urged Titus that just as he had previously begun this work, so also he should complete this act of kindness for you. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in eagerness, and in the love from us that is in you, make sure that you excel in this act of kindness too. I am not saying this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love by compassion with the eagerness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, so that you by his poverty could become rich. So here is my opinion on this matter. It is to your advantage, since you made a good start last year, both in your giving and your desire to give, to finish what you started, so that just as you wanted to do it eagerly, you can also complete it according to your means. For if the eagerness is present, the gift itself is acceptable according to whatever one has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not say this so there would be relief for others in suffering for you, but as a matter of equality. At the present time, your abundance will meet their need, so that one day their abundance may also meet your need, and thus there may be equality, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. But thanks be to God who put in the heart of Titus the same devotion I have for you, because he not only accepted our request, but since he was very eager, he is coming to you of his own accord. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his work in spreading the gospel. In addition, this brother has also been chosen by the churches as our traveling companion as we administer this generous gift to the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness to help. We did this as a precaution so that no one should blame us in regard to this generous gift we are administering. For we are concerned about what is right, not only before the Lord, but also before men. And we are sending with them our brother, whom we have tested many times and found eager in many matters, but who now is much more eager than ever because of the great confidence he has in you. If there is any question about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. If there is any question about our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, show them openly before the churches the proof of your love and of our pride in you. For it is not necessary for me to write you about this service to the saints, because I know your eagerness to help. I keep boasting to the Macedonians about this eagerness of yours that Achaia has been ready to give since last year, and your zeal to participate has stirred up most of them. But I am sending these brothers so that our boasting about you may not be empty in this case, so that you may be ready just as I kept telling them. For if any of the Macedonians should come with me and find that you are not ready to give, we would be humiliated, not to mention you, by this confidence we had in you. Therefore, I thought it necessary to urge these brothers to go to you in advance and to arrange ahead of time the generous contribution you had promised, so this may be ready as a generous gift and not as something you feel forced to do. My point is this: the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, you will overflow in every good work. Just as it is written, he has scattered widely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, will provide and multiply your supply of seed and will cause the harvest of your righteousness to grow. You will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous on every occasion, which is producing through us thanksgiving to God, because the service of this ministry is not only providing for the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing with many thanks to God. Through the evidence of this service, they will glorify God because of your obedience to your confession and the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your sharing with them and with everyone. And in their prayers on your behalf, they long for you because of the extraordinary grace God has shown to you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these reminders of eternal life, that eternal life has already begun. It's not something to come. It is available to us now, life in you. Thank you for the reminder of grace and the gift that it is. I pray that we hear these words and we apply them, that we are not just hearers, but we are doers of your word. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that's the free app. Take a look around, download it, go through it with a friend, a family member, or if you don't have any of those things available to you, go through it. And you will find a friend or a family if you reach out. You do not stay alone, you will not stay alone. So many people willing to go on this journey of life with you. You can check out the community section of the app or the website. There is a prayer wall available. If you don't want to call in, just not that's not your thing, totally understand. The prayer wall is available, and the prayer wall is there and available for prayer, for asking for prayer, and for praying for one another. And that is its intent, and its intent is to be a safe place for everyone who comes and is in need of prayer or is there to pray for those in need. So check out the community section, check out the prayer wall, check out the website. It's Christmas time. The Christmas box for 2025 is available now, and you can get that while supplies last. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you, and we are truly grateful for your partnership and your generosity. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. It's Christmas time. You can call in and offer your Christmas greeting to this community, just like you would if you're utilizing the prayer line, 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or utilizing the app again, you can hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit, turn that little wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. Now, if it's a Christmas greeting that you're calling in, we ask that you just call in once because of the level of calls that we do receive. And if you do have a prayer request or a prayer, to make that a separate call from your Christmas greeting. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning, family. This is Tammy calling from the Central Coast of California. This call is for Ezekiel. And wow, I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that Thanksgiving blessing. That was probably one of my highlights. Of course, there's the food, and I love the DAB and the DABC, but wow, Ezekiel, I just wanted to say what a blessing it was to hear your historical rendition of what Thanksgiving was about. And so I just was so blessed by that, and I just wanted to say thank you. You are quite the young man, and you are truly blessing me, even though my daughter is grown now and I don't have any littles in the house. I am truly blessed by listening to you and your prayers and your wisdom. So may God continue to bless you, Ezekiel. Thank you so much. Make it a great day, family.
Good morning, DABC family. I'm calling to say a prayer for a mother from Cleveland, Ohio, has requested prayers for her son Anthony and his wife Kayla. They have been trying to conceive through IVF and have recently learned they are pregnant without it. However, they are concerned about the possibility of a premature birth or even lost the baby, lose the baby. As community, we feel their pain, and we want to pray for them. We humbly come together here before our Father in heaven and lift them up to you, Lord. We express our gratitude for this pregnancy, which comes after years of struggle anxiety, heartaches, and pain. Please, if it's in your will, protect this baby for the remainder of their pregnancy and grant Kayla strength and health, and help them trust in your plan and feel your peace in every moment. Bless Anthony and Kayla, the child they eagerly awaited for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.